together. They may be strangers or they may be friends, but they are all builders of hope and homes. Hammers are raised, bricks are laid, dreams take shape, and another family finds shelter in a home they help build. Through their time and talents, Habitat for Humanity volunteers are helping change lives for the better, and in the process, maybe even changing their own lives as well. Together, we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your community or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, please volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
That pain in your back is telling you something. Maybe it's telling you you're getting older, that you can't do certain things anymore. Or is it simply telling you it really hurts? It could be telling you to make a change, treat it better, or take care of it now, not later. It could be telling you a lot of things, but to find out exactly what it's saying, call the professionals at Texas Back Institute. Texas Back Institute is the largest freestanding spine specialty clinic in the United States. They have world-renowned surgeons and conservative care specialists, state-of-the-art diagnostic and treatment services, and customized patient care that encourage non-surgical alternatives. So don't let debilitating back and neck pain stop you. Call 1-800-247-BACK. That's 1-800-247-2225. Or visit TexasBack.com and let us help you get your life and your back back. Texas Back Institute. Technology with a healing touch.
I'm Ryan Mosley in the ESPNDallas.com newsroom. The Texas Rangers are World Series bound. Details in 60 seconds.
First, they push the Rays to the limit.
The Texas Rangers are headed to the ALCS.
Next, they dismantle the most successful franchise in Major League history.
That ball is gone. Home run. Second deck. Goodbye.
Now, it's time. Follow the Rangers' historic fight for the World Series Championship on your home for the most complete Rangers coverage in DFW. 103.3 FM ESPN. ESPNDallas.com.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group with offices in Dallas, Las Colinas, and Frisco. Visit txsportsmed.com for more information about the practice and our doctors.
And tune in to Dr. Soriel on Inside Sports Medicine, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m., right here on 103.3 FM ESPN.
Now, a Sports Center update live from the North Texas Honda Dealers.com Sports Center desk.
The Rangers took care of the Yankees last night, 6-1, to clinch their first ever trip to the World Series in franchise history. Vladimir Guerrero went 1-for-4 with 3 RBI. Josh Hamilton was named the series MVP after batting 350 and hitting 4 home runs. The Rangers weren't considered favorites to start the season, but manager Ron Washington says his team believed in itself, and that's really all that mattered.
The only thing that matters is what you believe inside your clubhouse, not what goes on outside the clubhouse. I keep saying the same thing over. It's not the best team that wins. It's the team that played the best on that day. Well, there was quite a few days we played better than the teams we played, and that's why we headed to the World Series.
The Rangers will now wait to play the winner of the NLCS between the Phillies and Giants. You can catch Game 6 of that series tonight right here at 6 o'clock. In college football, BCS number 1 Oklahoma visits Missouri tonight at 7 o'clock on ABCHD. TCU hosts Air Force at 7. SMU welcomes the Houston Cougars to the Hilltop today at 2:30. And Baylor hosts Kansas State right here today at 2:15. A win makes the Bears bowl eligible for the first time since 1994. In the NFL, the Cowboys square off against the New York Giants on Monday night in a crucial NFC East matchup at 7:30 on ESPN HD. In the NHL, the Stars look to start a new winning streak tonight when they host the Predators at 7 o'clock. And on the hardwood, the Mavs finish off the preseason with a 97-96 win over the Houston Rockets. Sean Marion scored the game winner at the buzzer off a pass from Jason Kidd. The Mavs will now take a few days off before they open the regular season next Wednesday against the Charlotte Bobcats. For the latest on the Rangers' first trip to the World Series, make sure you visit ESPNDallas.com. I'm Ryan Mosley. Tune in, log in, join in, 103.3 FM and ESPNDallas.com.
All new 2011 Hondas, all remaining 2010s, all out rollout savings you can't miss, right now at your North Texas Honda dealers.
Follow Follow the Rangers' historic fight for the World Series Championship on your home for the most complete Rangers coverage in DFW. KESN-FM and KESN-HD1, Allen, Dallas-Fort Worth.
Why you wanna tell me how to live my life?
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Second hour of episode 343. I'm your host, Dr. T.O. Soriel here. Ryan Mosley running the board, Clarence Carter running the phones. 214-787-1033 if you have questions or comments. I promise we're going to get to them today. It's been a full show so far. We've got lots of things to talk about in the news this past week. Also, congratulations to the Rangers. And if you were one of the fortunate few to watch that last-second Mavs win last night, too bad it was preseason, but it was absolutely spectacular.
Chuck is in regular season form, by the way. Heard the call last night. Chuck Cooperstein, voice of the Dallas Mavericks.
Hello.
Co-host of Coop and Nate right here on 103.3 FM ESPN. I don't know that there's a better radio play-by-play voice in this region, possibly the nation. I mean, and he probably would throw out a couple of names that he thinks are better than his, but he is absolutely one of the best.
I agree with you 100%. He is. I love listening to him, and I've told him that 1,000 times. He is absolutely the best. So is what, 0.4 seconds left or 0.6 seconds left?
What does it matter? If you inbound a pass against Yao Ming perfectly, Jason Kidd, you are definitely a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was already gold medal winner, but golly, man, that guy's good.
If you watched the game last night, I'm assuming it was on television. In those last 90 seconds, Jason Kidd took over. He absolutely took over. He was hustling. He was getting deflections. And then he throws this absolutely perfect lob pass from half court that frankly, I probably could have made the layup, but Sean Marion was there.
But could you have done it in front of Yao Ming?
I'm not talking about the pass.
Said the layup. Okay.
I mean, he put the ball right there where all you had to do is just kind of tap it in, and it was spectacular. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. This is a great time of year. This is a great time of year. It's a great time of year in Texas. It's a great time of year in sports. Sorry about the weather, but it's just a lot of fun. I want to continue our conversation with Dr. Sterling, Jim Sterling, who's been a frequent guest on the show. We were talking about the duties of the sideline doc and how things are getting a little chippy on the sidelines between the training staff, the doc. All of this is because of the evolving revolving thinking about concussions and how we're supposed to treat them. Hey, welcome back, Jim.
It's good to be back.
Yep. So I started to say about 10 years ago, if someone has a concussion and they clear in 15, 20 minutes, they would go back in the game. But now that's not the way it is anymore. And there are some people that are taking issue with that. And unfortunately, it's on television. Your thoughts?
Well, the way that I kind of tell my patients and parents and athletic trainers and coaches that I deal with, the big problem with a brain injury, the concussion, and let's be clear, a concussion is a brain injury, is that you can't really see it very well. You have to be trained to kind of see that, and even those of us who, like you and me, and others, even then, sometimes you're not always 100% sure. And when in doubt, when in doubt, sit them out motto should exist. But
Say that again. When in doubt, what?
When in doubt, sit them out.
Absolutely, I like that.
The problem is that because it's such a complex thing, it's very difficult on the sidelines to know whether or not they should play again. And the recommendations today is absolutely that if there's a concussion, they should not play.
Well, and the thing is, we as physicians, and a little bit later in the show, Tim Brown's going to be on the show, and he was obviously Heisman Trophy winner, been in the league for, I mean, future Hall of Famer. This guy is unbelievable. I want to get his spin on the same exact subject from a player standpoint. Jason Witten wanted to be back in the game. Of course he wanted to be back in the game. But the Cowboys medical staff felt that it would be safer for him to sit out. I would love to get that perspective. But
can I say something?
Sure.
Can I say something?
Sure, sure.
And I had a different perspective of the Jason Witten thing, too.
Tell me.
I think some of the agitation that you saw from Jason Witten, obviously he wanted to go back in the game. I think that was part of his concussion talking.
Oh.
Because agitation is a classic sign on the sideline sometimes. I've had kids literally fight me and be combative.
That normally wouldn't.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow.
You've got these normal, really sedate, nice kids, and the next thing you know, they're crazy on the sidelines because their brain is it's irritated.
Well, they're not thinking clearly. I mean, that's why we ask him. Remember back in the old days, we used to ask him what Tony Dorsett's number was? And I'm not sure I still remember that. It was 33, wasn't it?
That's correct.
Okay. Yeah. But, you know, we'd ask him questions on the sideline because they're not thinking clearly. And what we're learning about concussions is that it is not a structural problem so much as it is a functional problem. Your brain's not working correctly. That's a great observation, Jim. I appreciate that. And that's why you're on the show all the time. That's why you're on the show all the time. But in order to be an effective sideline team doc, and I don't care what level it is, you have got to have the backing of the coach and of the management. We had an incident just yesterday, as a matter of fact. I'll share it with all my listeners because I found this very odd, where a youngster had a concussion the week before. This is high school. This is small high school. We're not talking 5A. We're not talking, you know, Highland Park or South Lake or any of the big programs. So this is really small high school. And the youngster had a concussion. The team doctor held him out. He has not cleared. Okay, he has not cleared, so he was not scheduled to play last night. But the mother and father went and got a release from their family doctor, and it put the team doctor in a very awkward position because here you are standing on the sideline watching someone play when he really should not be out there playing, and the coach went along with it. So, you know, our doc made the athletic director sign a release. I mean, seriously, at the end of the day, it's a liability problem. I'm standing there to take care of the kid. I don't think the kid should be out there, and yet he's out there. Your thoughts?
Well, that is a problem. That's a huge problem. I mean, you're liable. Whoever's covering the sideline is liable for those kids. That's one of the big controversies right now in concussion management and maybe even in other injuries, but you know, the kids go get clearances, and I don't mean to demean anybody, but
sure.
You know, they go to their gastroenterologist or their dermatologist or whoever, who really aren't concussion trained, and they're getting cleared. It's still an evolving process, and not everybody fully understands it, and that's part of the problem with the coaches. I don't think they completely understand it. It's all about education.
Well, I suspect this isn't the end of it, so I think you're going to be on here again and again and again, but hopefully in the last 15, 20 minutes we got some information across, valuable information. I can't wait till the next segment when we get Tim Brown's perspective on the same type of topic. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. We'll chat with you later, bud.
Quite welcome. Thanks.
All right. You're listening to Inside Sports Medicine on 103.3 FM ESPN Radio.
First, they push the Rays to the limit.
The Texas Rangers are headed to the ALCS.
Next, they dismantle the most successful franchise in Major League history.
That ball is gone. Home run. Second deck. Goodbye.
Now, it's time. Follow the Rangers' historic fight for the World Series Championship on your home for the most complete Rangers coverage in DFW. 103.3 FM ESPN. ESPNDallas.com.
Texas Health Center for Diagnostics and Surgery is a unique hospital providing surgical and imaging services in a first-class environment. Located in Plano, board-certified physicians on the medical staff offer some of the most advanced treatment options today, including minimally invasive procedures for the back and spine, In addition, other surgical specialties represented include orthopedics, ear, nose, and throat, gynecology, urology, and general surgery. Pain management and diagnostic imaging procedures are also performed in a warm and friendly setting. Texas Health Center for Diagnostics and Surgery. First-class service with unsurpassed care. Call 972-403-2700. That's 972-403-2700 for more information. Or visit our website at www.thcds.com.
That pain in your back is telling you something. Maybe it's telling you you're getting older, that you can't do certain things anymore. Or is it simply telling you it really hurts? It could be telling you to make a change, treat it better, or take care of it now, not later. It could be telling you a lot of things, but to find out exactly what it's saying, call the professionals at Texas Back Institute. Texas Back Institute is the largest freestanding spine specialty clinic in the United States. They have world-renowned surgeons and conservative care specialists, state-of-the-art diagnostic and treatment services, and customized patient care that encourage non-surgical alternatives. So don't let debilitating back and neck pain stop you. Call 1-800-247-BACK. That's 1-800-247-2225. Or visit TexasBack.com and let us help you get your life and your back back. Texas Back Institute. Technology with a healing touch.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group with offices in Dallas, Las Colinas, and Frisco. Visit txsportsmed.com for more information about the practice and our doctors.
And tune in to Dr. Soriel on Inside Sports Medicine, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m., right here on 103.3 FM ESPN.
They only come out at night, unless there's a daytime beach party, or if one of their friends decides to have people over on a random afternoon. But they usually come out at night. Nothing can deter them. Neither rain, nor hail, nor, well, maybe hail. Oh, and bullets. Yes, bullets will stop them for sure. But rain cannot deter them, for they are captains, each born with uncanny abilities, like the power to break ice with words.
Captain Icebreaker.
Know of a second party when the first one isn't all that great.
Captain Plan B.
Or arrive at a bar really, really early to get a table, so their boys can come later and rest their drinks on the table.
Captain Seat Saver.
There are captains in every crew.
Captain Morgan.
Calling all captains.
Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Puerto Rican rum with spices and other natural flavors. 35% alcohol by volume. Copyright 2009. Captain Morgan Rum Company, Norwalk, Connecticut. Drink responsibly.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Fact-filled show today. I am T.O. Soriel here, Ryan Mosley, Clarence Carter. Wow. You know, this isn't the kind of show that we can replay because I think some of what we talked about today is very timely, so you're probably not going to hear it as a best of, but you can download it on iTunes or Podomatic, and the downloads are free. Just look up Inside Sports Medicine. We've had... I have lost track, but nearly 50,000 downloads since March when we started doing this. And you can also listen to us on the internet if for whatever reason you're not in town but still want to get the show. There is a listen live icon on ESPNDallas.com. And Clarence from time to time will put on a podcast of the show on the ESPNDallas.com. We will take your calls, 214-787-1033. I promise that's the heart and soul of this show is calls. But we've had some really important things to talk about this morning. Jim Sterling just was giving us the perspective of the sideline team doctor. And we're a little bit later, within the next couple of minutes, we're going to have Tim Brown giving us the other perspective, the player's perspective, the future Hall of Famer perspective on team doctrine. But I want to go to the phones and take this call. Hey, Mark, good morning. You're on Inside Sports Medicine. Mark, you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, good morning. You're on Inside Sports Medicine. What's up?
I just wanted to tell you guys, I'm a neuropsychologist with a concussion program here in Dallas, and just wanted to express my appreciation for you guys bringing this topic up again this morning.
Well, you're very welcome. You know, you're probably, I don't know, hopefully you're not new to the show, but I've been talking about this for the last 10 years. I take concussions seriously. I always hated when the TV guys, you know, laugh about so-and-so saying, he doesn't even know where he is. He's got his bell rung. And I never, standing on the sideline, I never thought it was funny. So,
right.
Look, we're learning a lot about this, but being on the sideline, you being in practice, it is very difficult to tell mom and dad that little Junior can't play little Junior looks fine.
That's what I'm faced with. I range from 13 up to adult, and the interest you brought up, the Jason Witten case,
right?
And if you remember that same day, two guys from the Philadelphia Eagles also got concussion.
Well, it's rampant in the NFL.
Well, the interesting thing about it is one of those guys went back in, and then he ended up getting sick on the sidelines later, and Jason Witten played the next week, and those guys didn't.
Yeah.
And I use that as an example to the parents that, you know, there's three criteria for return to play. One is symptom-free at rest, one is symptom-free with exertion, and the third is a return to baseline cognitive functioning. And you can't assess that always on the sideline to the same degree you can outside of the playing field.
Look, at the end of the day, this is all about safety. I mean,
absolutely. And we know with the brain, I mean, you were talking about a physical versus a functional.
Right.
There's also the neurochemical aspect.
Absolutely.
We know with concussion, there's a flooding of calcium, flooding of potassium into the brain, and a reduced cerebral blood flow. And that can go on anywhere from minutes to hours to days to weeks. And that's part of what we have to assess outside of the football field. And I don't think, I mean, even as trained as we are as being on the sideline, we're not able to assess that to the same degree.
Oh, absolutely not. Look, on the sideline, it's basically being a triage officer in the emergency room. My job is to say, well, you know, you can go back in, you can't go back in, and you need to go to the hospital right now. That's my job.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, look.
Exactly.
I appreciate your input. We're going to keep sending this message home until not only the parents understand, but the coaches as well. I don't know if you heard. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Keep listening. All right, Vanessa, good morning. You're on Inside Sports Medicine. What you got?
Good morning. My son was 12. He plays hockey, recently had a concussion, did not lose consciousness, did not have any memory loss, but did have a mild concussion, and we didn't have a team doctor or anything like that, but I did take him to a sports medicine doc, and they said, well, it was a mild concussion, and once he is symptom-free, then we do the step-back approach to getting back to play. And they talked about the 14 days, but he didn't really qualify for that because it was a mild concussion. And, I mean, I understand the physician saying, you know, there's a lot of liability on them being a sideline doc, but that's what this is, liability, right?
Well, at the end of the day, it's about safety. Now, seriously, I mean, at the end of the day, it's about safety. And one of the interesting things, I am not a concussion expert, so I'm going to tell you right now, Dr. Jim Sterling knows far more about concussions than I do. In fact, there are dozens of doctors in Dallas that know more about it than I do. But I've seen enough of them because I do stand on the sideline on Friday night, and I do cover, professional basketball and things like that. But I've seen enough of them to have a healthy respect for a concussion. And what the term mild, moderate, and severe in terms of concussions, those are old terms. We're not using those anymore. So let me give you an example. You can have what looks to be a horrible, horrible incident where the youngster loses consciousness. It's visible to everybody. Sometimes they have a little, almost looks like a seizure. And then within a week, their cognitive function is completely back to normal. And you would think, wow, that looked like a severe concussion. And yet you can have the other side of the coin where it's just a mild hit. He just hit his head on the ice. But 3 weeks later, he still does not have, he still has headaches. He still has, you know, cognitive functions. He still does not know Tony Dorsett's number. So what looks like it's mild in the beginning turns out to take 3 or 4 weeks. And what looks like it's severe in the beginning clears up in a few days. And this is the problem. What we're learning now is you can't use that mild, moderate, severe strategy. You just can't. But then
what you're saying then is that cognitive function test, you better do a baseline on everybody.
Absolutely. And and here's the problem. I mean, listen, we're learning new stuff every day, Vanessa. In the last 3 years, what we've learned about concussions has doubled in volume as compared to the previous 30 years. And yeah. I think this is a field that's evolving. I think at some point, if your son or daughter is involved in collision sports, part of their pre-athletic screening, we used to call them physicals back in the old days, is going to be a baseline concussion test. I think that at some point that is going to be required or mandated, and it's going to be in their normal medical records that will travel with them. But right now that's not the case. But you're right. Now, there are some cognitive tests that are available that you can take even if you did not have a baseline, but you got to go to somebody who knows what they're doing. I think the correct answer is to err on the side of safety. That's what this is about. The correct answer is to err on the side of safety. I was flabbergasted when I saw our athletic trainer yesterday getting signatures about that. I think a kid was even a sophomore in high school. A sophomore getting a release signed so that he can play despite the fact that the coaches and the trainers did not want him to play. I was flabbergasted by that. But I guess there are all kinds. You're listening to Inside Sports Medicine. When we come back, I'm very privileged. I am absolutely very privileged and humbled. When we come back, Mr. Tim Brown is going to be on the show. I can't wait to get his perspective on all this helmet-to-helmet stuff after his 16, 17, 20, 25 years playing football. You're listening to Inside Sports Medicine on 103.3 FM ESPN Radio.
Coming up on Monday's show, Rangers win, Rangers win, Rangers win. They are going to the World Series, and Ben and I will talk about an epic, epic weekend.
Boomstick, in your face, you payroll bullies. The Rangers headed to the World Series. Join us at Sherlock's in Arlington for a fantastic Rangers celebration. 9 to noon, 103.3 FM ESPN.
Hey, thinking about grabbing something to eat? Which sounds better to you? This?
Welcome to McWendy's Burger Bell. Would you like fries with that?
Or this?
Hi. Welcome to Hooters.
Yeah, thought so. And now with Hooters More Than a Mouthful Mondays, you can enjoy Hooters More Than a Mouthful Cheeseburger Platter with pickle and fries for just $5.99 every Monday at Hooters. So say goodbye to McWendy's Burger Bell.
Would you like fries with that?
And hello to Hooters More Than a Mouthful Monday.
See you at Hooters.
Texas Health Center for Diagnostics and Surgery is a unique hospital providing surgical and imaging services in a first-class environment. Located in Plano, board-certified physicians on the medical staff offer some of the most advanced treatment options today, including minimally invasive procedures for the back and spine. In addition, other surgical specialties represented include orthopedics, ear, nose, and throat, gynecology, urology, and general surgery. Pain management and diagnostic imaging procedures are also performed in a warm and friendly setting. Texas Health Center for Diagnostics and Surgery. First-class service with unsurpassed care. Call 972-403-2700. That's 972-403-2700 for more information. Or visit our website at www.thcds.com.
That pain in your back is telling you something. Maybe it's telling you you're getting older, that you can't do certain things anymore. Or is it simply telling you it really hurts? It could be telling you to make a change, treat it better, or take care of it now, not later. It could be telling you a lot of things, but to find out exactly what it's saying, call the professionals at Texas Back Institute. Texas Back Institute is the largest freestanding spine specialty clinic in the United States. They have world-renowned surgeons and conservative care specialists, state-of-the-art diagnostic and treatment services, and customized patient care that encourage non-surgical alternatives. So don't let debilitating back and neck pain stop you. Call 1-800-247-BACK. That's 1-800-247-2225 or visit TexasBack.com and let us help you get your life and your back back. Texas Back Institute, technology with a healing touch.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine.
Texas Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Group with offices in Dallas, Las Colinas, and Frisco. Visit TXSportsMed.com for more information about the practice and our doctors.
And tune in to Dr. Soriel on Inside Sports Medicine, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m., right here on 103.3 FM, ESPN.
I'm Ryan Mosley in the ESPNDallas.com newsroom. Your Texas Rangers are going to the World Series. Details in 60 seconds.
Crown Royal Black is a new extra bold whiskey. It's a darker, more robust whiskey, blended at 90 proof, which still embodies the signature smoothness of Crown Royal. The new Crown Royal Black is handcrafted by master blender Andrew McKay, a Canadian whiskey devoted to full-bodied flavor. Matured to perfection in charred oak barrels and blended at a higher proof to impart a more concentrated flavor. Crown Royal Black has deeper bourbon notes and a rich texture, a dark red-brown, deeper oak background with sweet maple notes and light vanilla towards the finish will make you realize you're drinking the signature legendary smoothness of the new Crown Royal Black. A creamy profile is well within the Crown Royal family and velvety, which will be a pleasant surprise at 90 proof. So experience the smoothness of the new Crown Royal Black and enjoy the full-bodied flavor. Crown Royal Blended Canadian Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, 2010 The Crown Royal Company, Norwalk, Connecticut. It's about quality, not quantity.
Now, a SportsCenter update, live from the NorthTexasHondaDealers.com SportsCenter desk.
As you've heard by now, the Texas Rangers beat the Yankees 6-1 last night to claim their first AL pennant in team history. Colby Lewis got his second one of the series, allowing just three hits over eight innings. Josh Hamilton was named the series MVP and was asked what it meant to be going to the World Series.
I'm so excited for this team, for the city. You know, something that's never happened here before. So to be part of something like that means the world. It's something nobody can take away from you.
The Rangers are now headed to the World Series, where they'll be on the road for Game 1 next Wednesday night against the winner of the NLCS. Speaking of the National League, we'll have Game 6 between the Phillies and Giants right here tonight at 6 o'clock. On the ice, the Stars are home tonight against the Nashville Predators at 7. In the NBA, Sean Marion scores the game winner off a lob from Jason Kidd at the buzzer as the Mavs finish off the preseason with a 97-96 win over the Houston Rockets. And football notes, Baylor looks to become bowl eligible today when they host Kansas State right here at 2:15. TCU takes on Air Force tonight at 7. BCS number 1 Oklahoma is in Columbia tonight for a crucial Big 12 matchup against the Missouri Tigers at 7 on ABCHD. And the Cowboys are home on Monday night against the rival New York Giants. Guard Kyle Kozar is still day-to-day with that strained Achilles tendon. Kickoffs at 7:30 on ESPN HD. For the latest on the Rangers' trip to the World Series, make sure you visit ESPNDallas.com. I'm Ryan Mosley. Tune in, log in, join in, 103.3 FM and ESPNDallas.com.
All new 2011 Hondas, all remaining 2010s, all out rollout savings you can't miss. Right now at your North Texas Honda dealers.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. Congratulations to our Texas Rangers. We're going to the World Series. Who would have thought it?
Did you get your
ticket yet, Doc? No, did not. Who would have thought it? Episode number 343. Live in the studio. I am T.O. Soriel, live with Clarence Carter, Ryan Mosley. Good show in terms of information today. We've had some really solid bits of information. Hopefully, you all have been listening long enough to catch it. We were talking about concussions and how that's evolved. But also in the news this week, I am a big fan of SportsCenter. I can see the same episode 5 times a day. In fact, if you've ever come to our office, every room's got a TV. The lobby's got a big, giant, widescreen, and it's always on the worldwide leader. And you can't help this week, SportsCenter, you can't help but see the videotape over and over and over again of the helmet-to-helmet hits in the NFL just this past week. And being a sports medicine show, and since the topic is all about player safety, I feel very privileged to be able to ask one of the greats of all time, Mr. Tim Brown, what his perspective is on this particular subject in the NFL. Now, most of you know he is Heisman Trophy winner in 87 from Notre Dame. Tim's had a Hall of Fame career. And you were a wide receiver. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, Doc. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm humbled by the fact that you're on.
No problem. You know, anything for you, Doc.
Well, so listen, all right. You've watched TV all week. What is your spin on this?
Well, you know, I may have a little different spin because everybody expects, you know, me to talk about how nasty and bad these defensive players are. But when I played the game, I called 1,094 balls. Good for, I think I'm still third or fourth in the history of the NFL in catches. And between 700 and 800 of those passes were caught between the numbers.
Okay.
And the majority of those were caught between the hashes. And the one thing that I always knew was I had to know exactly where everybody was on the field. And what I mean by that is when you're running routes over the middle of the field, especially if it's a zone coverage, you cannot be running through a zone coverage. And I'm not a blame the victim type guy here, but if you look at especially Massaqua and Deshaun Jackson.
Yep.
Both of them were running the wrong route.
Yep.
And if you're going to play in that part of the field, you know, and I tell, you know, these guys who like to play football outside the numbers, they're not really playing football. Football don't really start until you start catching the balls inside the hashes, inside the numbers. And the one thing that I try and get over to these young guys, I have a chance to mentor Jeremy Maclin from the Philadelphia Eagles. We talk all the time, and I'm constantly running him through plays and that kind of stuff. And the one thing that I'm trying to get over to him, you have to understand what defenses are trying to do. And you can only take what the defense is giving you. You can't try and take more than what they're going to allow you to have, because if you do, then you run the risk of getting hit under the chin. I mean, now, in all my days of playing football, I was only knocked out one time, and that's going back to high school. And that was when I was on defense trying to hit somebody.
Oh, so your one concussion was on defense?
On defense, because I go up and try and, you know, put my helmet in there and catch a knee in the head, and next thing I know, you know, I think I'm on my couch sleeping someplace, and I'm in the middle of a football field.
So let me ask you this. Is it more prevalent now, or were these things taking place 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and we just didn't talk about them?
No, it's certainly more prevalent now, and that's because the fundamentals of the game are eroding away. And anytime you have the fundamentals going away, then you're going to have things happening that shouldn't be happening. And the other thing that's happening is these guys are much better athletes and much bigger, much stronger. You know, everybody's getting, you know, you got the steroid thing still out there, or people taking stuff that they probably shouldn't be taking. But with all that being said, anytime you throw in a mix of having greater, bigger, stronger athletes and the lack of fundamentals, I mean, that's an explosion waiting to happen as far as I'm concerned. And I think that's why you're seeing more big plays, more big hits. Now, this guy, Merriweather, for the Patriots, he's got to be done. Something has to be done with him because he is head-hunting for sure. And what he did to Todd, he absolutely wasn't correct.
Yep. Well, and I think the NFL is going to address that. The reason that I bring this up, and this is a sports medicine show, is that there are a lot of coaches, there are a lot of athletic trainers, there are a lot of parents that listen to this show. And what I'm afraid of is that I see the youngsters on Friday night, even going back to Pee Wee, watching Sports Center, watching these hard hits, and they try to do the same thing. And we've got a problem here because no one is teaching them how to tackle.
That's exactly right. And you know, my little boy Timmy Jr., he played the flag football for 3 years, 4, 5, and 6 years old. I didn't let him play Pop Warner this year for one reason, not Pop Warner, but youth sports, I'll say.
Yep.
When I would take him to practice, there would be a youth sports tackle football team practicing next to him. And these kids wouldn't have gotten out the car 2 minutes. Where the coaches have them doing Oklahoma drill, where they're laying back to back and they get up and shout out.
Yeah.
And the coaches are, oh, yeah, that's a great hit. But no one has taught these kids any form of fundamentals. No one has taught them anything of how to protect themselves when they're going in a hit and how to protect yourself when you're going to get hit.
What?
And so, again, you know, if the NFL wants to do anything, and I had the opportunity to talk to Mike Pereira, who is no longer involved with the NFL, and he sort of agreed with me. The NFL needs to get back in youth sports and really get on coaches about teaching the fundamentals of the game.
And I agree with you. Again, I'm going to ask you about the team doctoring thing because
sure.
Because I would like your spin on it as well. I think the sport has changed. I think the sport has changed in many, many ways. And I'm certainly I'm just a fan. I watch on Sundays, but the level of athleticism now, as compared to, I don't know, even 10 years ago, it's amazing to me. You've got defensive backs that are big as linebackers.
Right. But Doc, you're exactly right about that. But you think about some of the hardest hidden safeties in the history of the game, and you're not going to really talk about the guys who are playing now. You're going to talk about, you know, the Ronnie Lott's, Ab Waters, the Dennis Smith. You're going to talk about those guys, and yet and still, you don't remember those guys head hunting or doing those kind of things because they were fundamentally sound football players. So you know, you're exactly right. I mean, when you look at some of the athletes on the field today, you know, these guys are super duper athletes.
I think the collisions are bigger.
What, yes,
you remember, maybe you don't remember, the hardest hit you've ever had?
Well, for me, it was on a kickoff return my second year in NFL, and I ended up tearing up my knee and missed the opening game of the year, ended up missing the rest of the season, the other 15 games. But it was simply because in that situation, I saw the guy coming, and I tried to plant in the grass in the L.A. Coliseum gave way.
Yep.
So I went into like a mini split, and a guy just nailed me in that position. And so I ended up tearing up my knee, but it didn't knock me out. Everybody thought I was knocked out because of the way I fell. But when they got out there, I said, I wish it was my head. It's my knee. And so you know, that ended my season. But now Ronnie got me in my rookie year. And going up the seam, man, and he knocked my helmet off and everything. Didn't knock me out, but knocked my helmet off. But that was probably one of the hardest hits I took catching a pass.
As a team doc standing on a sideline, I absolutely hate kickoffs. And
oh, yeah. It's the worst.
It is the worst because you get a big head of steam, and a lot of the injuries have really nothing to do with the ball carrier. You're seeing guys that are, you know, going as fast as they possibly can, running into other guys who are going as fast as they can. This is irrelevant, but it's a kickoff return that I clearly remember. We had two guys. This was a high school game. It was Wilmer Hutchins. I'll never forget it. two guys ran into each other so hard, both of them were concussed, and both teams. One guy fell this way, one guy fell that way. We only had one medical staff. We had to go out and attend to both these guys. I hate kickoff returns. And, okay, that's just the concussion aspect of it.
Sure. Then
you've got the knee aspect right. of it, because you're going as fast as you can, and you're trying to cut to change direction. And depending on the turf, you know, I see more injuries on kickoffs. There was an analyst, and I can't remember what show it was, Tim, but they were talking about the NFL has to change something on kickoffs. I don't know what they can do.
Yeah, you know, and believe me, that's going to be the next area they're going to really have to address again, because these guys are so much bigger and stronger now, and they're so much faster, and this new turf that they're putting in is making the players even faster.
Yep.
You know, it's just an issue. And the only thing I can think of is, I mean, you're going to have like a 5-yard soft zone where 5 yards before you make contact, you're going to have to almost slow down or come to a stop. And, you know, and that's just going to improve, you know, it's going to make it a lot easier for the kickoff returners. But I don't know what they can do, man. You know, I think, you know, you have to, you know, keep harping on these guys and player safety. But at the same time, you know, every player out there has to understand. They have to understand what they're supposed to be doing at the appropriate time also.
Look, I'd like for you to stick around, because we've got one more segment, and I've got a couple of things to ask you.
Sure.
I want to talk about the elephant in the room. I want to talk about the number of injuries in the NFL. Certainly, it seems larger than it was when you played,
sure.
The volume. So when we come back, this is Inside Sports Medicine. I'm T.O. Soriel with special guest Tim Brown. We'll be right back on 103.3 FM ESPN Radio.
Welcome to a place where great cities come together to create a world of their very own. A world of winning. A world of entertainment. A world of luxury. Welcome to WinStar World Casino. 8 breathtaking world-themed plazas are home to over 6,000 of your favorite electronic games, 52 blackjack tables, the region's premier poker room, and much, much more. 27 beautiful DIY Bring-inspired holes wind through the Red River Flats, while the WinStar World Hotel's 395 opulent rooms and suites await your arrival. Whether you're looking for that special something at one of our quaint boutiques, a delicious meal, or a concert from the hottest entertainers of yesterday and today, WinStar World Casino is a destination unlike any other. Conveniently located along I-35, WinStar is just 75 minutes from the Dallas Metroplex and only 1 mile north of the Oklahoma-Texas border. WinStar World Casino, a whole new world of winning.
Hey, thinking about grabbing something to eat? Which sounds better to you? This?
Welcome to McWendy's Burger Bell. Would you like fries with that?
Or this?
Hi, welcome to Hooters.
Yeah, thought so. And now with Hooters More Than a Mouthful Mondays, you can enjoy Hooters More Than a Mouthful cheeseburger platter with pickle and fries for just $5.99 every Monday at Hooters. So say goodbye to McWendy's Burger Bell.
Would you like fries with that?
And hello to Hooters More Than a Mouthful Monday.
See you at Hooters.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready, waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Are you an embarrassment on the dance floor? Do you confuse state capitals, make runny scrambled eggs, and read too many celebrity gossip magazines? Do you drink milk straight from the carton, think trigonometry is a planet, and snore louder than a Kodiak bear? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care. Because teens don't need perfection, they need you. So if you bite your nails like they're a snack food, think an MP3 is a computer virus, can't tell a right angle from an acute, constantly lose the remote, can't parallel park, confuse hip-hop with double dutch, and are afraid of spiders, dentists, and clowns, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
First, they push the Rays to the limit.
The Texas Rangers are headed to the ALCS.
Next, they dismantle the most successful franchise in Major League history.
That ball is gone. Home run. Second deck. Goodbye.
Now, it's time. Follow the Rangers' historic fight for the World Series championship on your home for the most complete Rangers coverage in DFW. 103.3 FM ESPN. ESPNDallas.com.
Welcome back to Inside Sports Medicine. T.O. Soriel here. Clarence Carter, Ryan Mosley. We have been discussing many relevant topics this morning. We were talking about concussions. We were talking about helmet-to-helmet hits. And we are fortunate enough to be joined by Tim Brown, Heisman Trophy winner, future Hall of Famer in the NFL, just to get his perspective on what's going on. And Tim has already given us some tremendous insight in that there's probably a lack of fundamental understanding on the receiver's part in terms of when to go across the middle and when to keep your head on a swivel, right?
That's right.
And but I was trying to summarize the last segment, and I'm not really good at this radio thing. But I wanted to ask you this. It seems to me, as a fan, and I'm old. I'm going to be 54 next month. It seems to me that there seems to be more injuries in the NFL than there has been in years past. And I don't know if that's true or we're just hearing about them or guys are sitting out. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's absolutely, absolutely true. You know, I think what's happening, and this is really starting to pick up my last year in the league in 04, it used to be that when I first came in the league in 1988, we played our 16 games, and then the season would end before Christmas. So if you didn't make the playoffs, which we didn't as the Raiders for a couple of years there, I would be home before Christmas. And literally, Doc, I would not do anything regarding the football. I would work out here, you know, getting prepared. But as far as organized sports, I wouldn't do anything with the Raiders until late April.
Wow,
before
okay.
I had to do anything and that was just to come out for a three-day mini camp. And then you would come back after the rookies were drafted, they would have another mini camp. So we had, you know, two mini camps and one mandatory mini camp is what we had back then in those days. And that was it. That's all we did. Well, obviously now you have the season going into January. I mean, the last game of the season will be played in January. If you make the playoffs, now you play into February. Well, you have to report in March back for workouts. So you don't have time to let your body heal, to let your body you know, do what it naturally needs to do to get to heal up from the season before.
To recover. Yeah, your body needs to recover. So you're saying there are more contact, more exposures.
Right, right. And now because of how they're working these guys out, it used to be you went to training camp to get in shape. Now you have to be in shape when you get to training camp. So it changes the whole dynamics of how you work out, how you prepare for the season, and how you go about your business, and it makes it very, very difficult to keep your body healthy if you're constantly putting it in a position of stress.
Well, I remember the days when NFL players used to have second jobs in the offseason.
Right.
You know, they would be truck drivers or what have you. Now it is a full-time job, and you're right, the body does not heal. But I think there's another factor, too, which you and I talked about in the previous segment. The guys are bigger and faster and more athletic, and therefore the collisions are harder. And you think that is the case as well?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you see some of these guys, I mean, even in college, you know, I'm doing these college games for ESPN 3D, and we did the Oregon-UCLA game the other night, which obviously was a blowout, but I was on the field before the game, and looking at some of these guys, man, it was just amazing. Me and my partner, we were like, dude, we would have to play Division II football right now because these guys are. But it's just amazing, man. You know, and look, you know, Doc, you know better than me. Back in the day, there was no enhancements that you can take to.
Right.
You know, you took some caffeine or something to get you going before practice. But nowadays, there's so much stuff for these guys to take to make themselves bigger and stronger. Hopefully all of it is legal, but we know that some of this stuff is illegal. And anytime you have an athlete enhancing his body to the point where he can, you know, run through a brick wall, you're going to have an issue when you get on the football field.
Well, there are a couple other things that I want to get your opinion on. What are your thoughts on an 18-game season? And I'm looking at it from a doctor and an injury standpoint.
Right. Well, look, I mean, I think last weekend proved that there's no way the NFL could ever get an 18-game season approved because it's literally giving these guys an extra 150. You know, you average about 65 to 70 plays a game, so you're taking another 130 shots of these guys getting injured. And when we talk about injuries, you know, these concussions,
yep.
You know, we know that these things are going to come back and affect these guys. You know, whether it's one or 21. You know, you're going to be affected by these concussions. So that reason alone is going to be a reason why I don't think the NFL would be able to get that pass.
All right, so the other thing I want to ask you about is equipment. What are your thoughts on the helmets? Now, I hear, and I don't know, I recently felt or had in my hand a helmet, a 49ers helmet. Hmm. That must have weighed 25 pounds. Now, I hear that there are, and this may be a little bit controversial, there are quote unquote better helmets out there, but we're not using them for whatever reason. What are your thoughts on the equipment? Do you remember your helmet? You remember your first helmet?
Oh yeah. And I pretty much went with the Bikey Air helmet my whole career. I mean, even through Notre Dame, you know, I never changed my helmet, even when everyone else changed. You know, when the big craze came to go to the bigger, more lighter. It was supposed to be a lighter, more aerodynamic type helmet.
Yeah.
I never changed because, I mean, I figured I'd never been concussed in the helmet that I was in, so why should I change? So, and that thing, when you put air in it, even though it's air, it seemed to be a little heavy, no doubt about it, even the helmet that I was wearing. But and that's part of the issue, you know, and I think it was Dickett who said, hey, take the face mask off these guys and you won't have these kind of hits going on. And that may be a little truth to that. But obviously, that's something that's not going to happen in the NFL today.
No.
But these helmets, man, they are, you know, they can be some serious weapons. And you heard the kid, unfortunately, and I don't know why he would make the comments he did, Crowder, down in Miami, say, hey, you know, they gave me a helmet and I'm going to use it. And, you know, I think he's just asking for the NFL to take some money out of his pocket.
Well, all right, so this is the last thing I want to talk to you about. And I'm not sure that, I'm not sure that I ever told you this story, but since we're just chatting, I want to get a feel from the NFL perspective because NFL is different than the NBA. The NBA players, they have guaranteed contracts. The NFL, not so much. And, you know, if you're hurt and you can't play, you don't, you know, you may not necessarily make the club from the tub, that kind of thing.
Right.
So the relationship between, you know, the players and the medical staff is a little different in the NFL than it was than it is in the NBA, for example. I didn't tell you this. I don't think I've ever told you this story. You were kind enough to invite me to your 40th birthday party a few years ago, and I was sitting at the same table with Jerry Rice. And he and I actually got into a heated discussion at your birthday party about the role of his doc. Now, the situation with Jerry Rice was he had an ACL injury. He came back relatively soon after. And I think he ended up breaking his kneecap and had to have something else. I asked a relatively innocent question. I said, "Didn't your doc tell you not to play?" And he said, "Yeah, he did, but it wasn't his decision; it was mine." And that's kind of where things got worse.
Well, knowing Jerry, I can see where that would left on you real quick right there. It's really, you know, when you're looking at play of Jerry Rice's statue. And he's known for having these incredible workout habits and all that kind of stuff. I think they were probably giving him a little bit more leeway than they would give the normal player. But
from an NFL player standpoint these days, I mean, you saw the Jason Witten thing on the sideline with the Cowboys medical staff. Is it an adversarial relationship, or are they all on the same team?